Welcome to another edition of Art and Soft in Focus, our special podcast series dedicated to bringing you the latest information and news to come out of the software migration world. I'm your hostess, Meg. Today we'll be having a Q&A with Art and Soft expert Cristian Saborío regarding 64-bit technology and how to become a pro in the field. Hi, Cristian. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi to everybody and give a little info feedback about myself. My name is Cristian Saborío, and I have been working with 64-bit technology for almost 3 years now. I've been working specifically in the training part of 64-bit, trying to get developers up to date in all the things that need to be done in their code so that they can get up and about in porting their applications to 64-bit in no time.
First of all, can you tell us what architectures currently support Microsoft's 64-bit operating systems?
Okay, so when we're talking about 64-bit architectures that support Microsoft's operating system, then basically we have two of them. We have the Itanium architecture, and then we have the X64 architecture. Let's talk a little bit about the Itanium architecture. This was developed from Intel from the ground up, and basically what it does, it's a completely different architecture. You need to compile things specifically for the Itanium. So what the Itanium was striving for was to work at the enterprise level and, for example, have a way to run massive, for example, massive database servers on Windows Server 2003 in order to scale up and be more productive in terms of, for example, having the performance of your server remain the same as more and more concurrent users are utilizing your products. And as far as the architecture goes, what they were striving for were to create the most parallelism possible in terms of having your code execute, your server execute multiple instructions at the same time. So that's the Itanium architecture, and we also have the X64 architecture, which is there's two different companies that made this, the X64. Intel made what is called the EM6040, and AMD made what is called the AMD64. In terms of binary compatibility, they're very, very binary compatible, so you don't need to compile something for AMD64 and compile another for EM64T. Both binaries work just fine. And what these architectures have is that they're basically an extension to the x86, the 32-bit architecture. So they have 64-bit capabilities while remaining completely compatible with the 32-bit model. And not only that, but you also get an extra set of registers. So just by porting your application to 64-bit, it might be the case that it will just see an improvement in terms of performance, not only because of the new memory capabilities that 64-bit offers, but also because the application will be taking advantage of the new set of registers for carrying out mathematical operations or any type of operation that it previously had some problems with. Or not problems, but it was just not as fast as it is now running on an X64 architecture.
Which takes us to the next question. What operating systems out there are currently supporting 64-bit technology from Microsoft?
Microsoft started offering 64-bit operating systems long time ago. I believe it was like 3 years ago when they first started offering Windows XP and Windows Server 2003 Enterprise Edition for the Itanium architecture. Shortly after that, they started developing Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP for what is commonly known as the X64 architecture or systems. When I mention X64, it compromises both architectures from AMD and from Intel, both the AMD64 and the EM64T, just for clarification. So in essence, they have developed Windows Server 2003, they have developed Windows XP, which is currently not supported anymore on the Itanium side. The only 64-bit Windows XP that you will find is the one that supports X64. And as of now, we have Windows Vista that supports 64-bit and 32-bit operating systems. And as a matter of fact, Microsoft has recently announced that Windows Vista will be the last 32-bit operating system that they offer. Any future releases that they have for any Windows operating systems, which I believe are going to be slated for 2010, are going to be 64-bit only.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. Are there currently any efforts being made in terms of training professionals for 64-bit? And if so, how can one get training in one of those particular areas?
Okay, so we have worked with Microsoft, Intel, Hewlett-Packard in the past with various programs that are currently not supported. Namely, there were the first one that started all was the HP Itanium Solution Alliance, in which all 64-bit content was targeted towards the Itanium. Then it was Route 64 and 64-bit Advantage, which targeted all the content towards x64 systems. Unfortunately, those trainings are not currently available. The training has currently stopped from part of Microsoft, but Artensoft carries on the tradition of training 64-bit professionals or any kind of developer who is looking forward to port their code over to 64-bit. So we have offered in-house training plenty of times, and if you're interested in any type of 64-bit training, then I do recommend that you check out Artensoft's website at training.artensoft.com, and then you can see all the type of training lessons that we currently have for any type of company that is interested in having their developers proficient in no time with 64-bit technologies.
Now, let's pretend I'm a developer and I'm trying to move over to 64-bit. What tools are out there to help make my job easier?
Okay, so if you're trying to move to 64-bit, whether you're a C-sharp developer or a C++ developer, and you're trying to write code that's going to be targeted towards the Microsoft Windows, then the first thing that you need to do is to get your hands on Microsoft Visual Studio 2005. And the version that you want to get really depends on what 64-bit architecture you're trying to target. So if you want to target the x64 architecture, which is made up of the EM64T and the AMD64, then Visual Studio 2005 Professional Edition will suffice, as it includes the 64-bit compilers for these architectures, the x64. Now, on the other hand, if you are trying to compile things for the Itanium, then you need to get Visual Studio 2005, the Team System Edition. And that one includes the compiler for the Itanium architecture, as well as the x64. But if you're looking for Itanium, then you need to get the Team System Edition. There's also some tools out there that are valuable and you can try to get your hands on, and they include the Microsoft PSDK, the Platform Software Development Kit. It's a free download from Microsoft, and it includes 64-bit compilers for both Itanium and for x64. However, if you're trying to compile C++ code or any type of code that relies on Microsoft development libraries, then I would really, really recommend that you get the Visual Studio Suite, as we've seen some problems in the past that happened with the PSDK when you're trying to compile over to 64-bit, but they do not show up when you're working with Visual Studio. So there might be some differences there. In the bottom line is that if you're working with MFC, ATL, or any type of Microsoft-specific library, then stick with Visual Studio 2005. That's your best bet.
The next question is, what does it take to port an application to 64-bit?
Okay, so in order to port an application to 64-bit, unfortunately, it is not a straightforward process, something that you just go ahead and take care of and you're done for the day. My advice would be, first of all, to understand what you're up against with. Find out what your dependencies are in terms of if you have any type of dependency, if you're dealing specifically with C++ code or so on, or with any type of managed code. If you have any dependencies on any libraries, third-party libraries, or any libraries that you might have in your solution for which you may not have the source code with, then you need to worry about those. One thing that we always teach in the trainings, and by the end of the training, people are usually sick and tired of listening to this, but we have to repeat it time and time again, is that 32-bit code and 64-bit code cannot exist within the same process space. So what this means is that if you have, for example, a 32-bit application that has a 32-bit DLL, that all works very, very well. But if you take that application and you port it over to 64-bit, and then you have the 64-bit application trying to invoke a 32-bit DLL, then that will not work, because DLLs cannot exist by themselves. They need to attach themselves to a running process in order to offer their functionality. So when the 32-bit application is trying to consume the 32-bit DLL, then things run astray and you will have problems. So there's different mechanisms that you can go about to overcome these problems. Like, for example, you can build a COM wrapper around the 32-bit DLL in order to communicate with your 64-bit application. But in essence, what you want to do is that if you have your dependencies, make sure that you have a way to take them over to 64-bit. Besides from that, you need to understand, have a landscape view of everything in your current project, and treat your project as if it was a completely new software project in terms of the QA that you will have to do, and basically all the testing that you have to do in order to ensure that your solution not only is behaving the same way as it did before, but it's also that it's stable and it offers the same functional equivalence. Many people make the mistake to think that the 64-bit training is something that you just take care of in one day. And even though porting over to 64-bit is a lot easier than it was porting from 16 to 32-bit, it should be treated with respect in terms of the amount of time that it can take and the toll that it can take as far as in your resources. So make sure that you treat it as a completely different project.
When you're working with programming languages like C, C++, or managed code languages, what are the biggest problems or perils you might find?
To address your question, let's start with the hardest part, which is when you're working with C or C++. So one of the things that happened when there was a 32-bit to 64-bit migration, and I'm sorry, move from Microsoft's side, was the fact that they followed the LP64 model. And in this model, the pointer was the only type that was the change size to 64-bit. So it changed from 4 bytes to 8 bytes. Now, this is not a problem just as it is, but the fact is that many programmers in the past, what they've done is that they carried out castings between pointer types and other types such as integers and longs. In 32-bit, it was not a problem because both were 4 bytes in size, the pointer and the integer. However, when you move to 64-bit and when you have all these types of castings going on, what you're doing is that you're moving a data type that's a 64-bit size in size to 32-bit, and then when you cast it back to a pointer, then it's back to 64-bit. So what happens there is that whenever a pointer is casted to an integer or a long, which worked very fine in 32-bit, what's happening is the top 32 bits of data are being chopped off. So if that pointer had any type of significant data in the top 32 bits, then it's gone and you end up with an invalid pointer and things can really go astray at that point. So that's the biggest problem that we find in C++. And the good news is that the compilers, such as the one that's included in Visual Studio 2005, will help you find out this problems. So you can go ahead and fix them at compile time. With managed code, fortunately, the story is completely different. As far as the hard work has already been done for you if you're a C-sharp programmer or a BB.NET programmer, because the 64-bit framework takes care of everything for you in terms of dealing with the new address space and so on. However, if you're working with C-sharp or BB.NET, for example, and you're using interrupt to load DLLs to use something from the Win32 API or any type of DLL, then you need to be careful in the sense of what we talked in the past. Remember that 32-bit and 64-bit code do not mix in the same process space. So if you have a 64-bit managed code application and you want to use a DLL, a 32-bit DLL that's being written in C++, an unmanaged one, then you need to find your 64-bit version for that DLL or you will run into problems. But the bottom line is that if you're working with managed code and it's 100% on managed code, then all it takes is a recompile and your application is 64-bit ready and good to go.
Christian, you've been amazing. We hope to have you here again soon.
All right. Thank you very much. It has been my pleasure. And just to remind the listeners out there that if they're ever in need of any type of problem with 64-bit or virtualization, then they can just check our blogs at blogs.artensoft.net. We have a plethora of information in 64-bit on the IT side or anything in general that our team currently works with and has problem, we write it on our blog, so it's a great resource. And thanks so much for your time, and I really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to Art and Soft in Focus. I'm your hostess, Meg. Don't forget to check out our next podcast for more insights into the software migration world. We hope you have a great day.